never in a million years would I have thought that the Monday Live viewers would have wanted to chat about the Triller, Jake Paul, Ben Askren debacle, spectacle, whatever you want to call it. But we talk about that a lot on today's show. Chris watched it. I watched highlights after the fact. But we had stuff to discuss. Of course, there's the NFL win totals that we had to break down. Deshaun Watson, his attorney responds to everybody. Alden Smith messing up again. Alex Smith decides to retire. Brad Stevens passed on a 7-year, $70 million deal from Indiana. And we talk about attendance overs along with just everything else. There was a lot to get into on the Monday Live show. So this, of course, is the Tuesday morning podcast. We appreciate you letting us take a moment of your time. If you like listening to the show, make sure that you share it out. Tell your friends. Subscribe. Leave a nice 5-star review on whatever podcast app you own. We appreciate you guys. Let's do an ad, and then we are going to jump to the show.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Winning cures everything. Now for your hosts, Gary and Chris.
Welcome in. Winning cures everything. It's Monday, April 19th. I'm Gary.
And I'm Chris.
And lots to discuss today. It is an NFL-heavy show, and my God, do we enjoy when that happens on a Monday afternoon. Chris, how's your day been?
Pretty good.
Everything's strolling right along. Taylor jumps in. He says, happy Monday, gents. Happy Monday indeed. When we have football to talk about, we all tend to be a little more happy. I think we're all smiling. We got some things to discuss, even though some of the topics are a little bit uncomfortable. I think that's the best way to say that. You know, Deshaun Watson, Alden Smith, all that kind of stuff. Those are, not easy topics to discuss, but we will hit on them because it is important to discuss. So, with that said, of course, much more that we will dive into. Let me go ahead and tell you guys first, winningcureseverything.com is the website. Everything you need to know about us can be found over there. All the places to follow, subscribe, etc. Every show that we are on, every appearance that we make on other shows, etc., you can find over there. Along with that, sbrpicks.com/NCAAF. That is where our college football content can be found. Of course, we do talk college football on this show as well, but that is an NFL, sorry, that is a college football centric show. Only CFB, and we talk about everything. FCS picks, whatever news is going on in the sport. We are getting ready to start going over conference previews, all kinds of stuff over there. So go and check it out, sbrpicks.com/NCAAF, or you can find it on YouTube. Just search out SBR Picks, and you can subscribe right there. We hit 85,000, by the way, over the weekend. So big, big numbers over there. Go ahead and check that out. We will start off with topic number one, and I believe it was on Friday, the NFL win totals were released. This is from William Hill, but obviously once one releases, everybody else falls right in line. So we'll roll with that. CBS has got theirs up right now. And Chris, you know, we'll kind of go over, we're not going to give picks. We're not going to give our thoughts because obviously we still got to go through the draft. There's trades that can go on, all kinds of stuff that can happen. Taylor said, I'm eager for Gary's thoughts on the new Bengals uniform. They look fresh. I thought they were good. Chris, did you like them?
Yeah, I thought they were nice. Some of the combos, I'm a bigger fan than others, but yeah.
Yeah, I thought it looked okay. Like, it wasn't too far of a they didn't completely swap from the old style.
Yeah, so not a lot has changed.
Yeah, not a lot has changed.
We've got a couple of color combos that they didn't used to have, but that's okay.
Yeah, but I still think it looked pretty good. Yes. It did not help them as far as their win totals go. We can start off with that. The Bengals, 6.5. Don't forget, we've got 17 games in the season now, and that is going to skew some of these numbers. We'll start at the bottom. The Texans and the Lions both at 5. Jags, Jets both at 6. Bengals, 6.5. And then you've got your 7s. So you've got your Eagles, Giants, and Falcons at 7. Is there anybody in this list that you kind of expected to be a little higher?
Hang on. Read the teams off again one more time.
Let's start with the 5s. All right?
Yeah.
Texans and Lions. Both expected to go 5-12.
That didn't surprise me. Okay.
All right. Now let's go to the 6s. Jets 6 and Jags 6.
Yeah, I think both those are going to be under that.
That's kind of what I thought. I was surprised that the Jets were at 6.
Yeah, me too.
Like they don't have a quarterback.
We have a rookie first year head coach.
And I like him a lot.
But yeah, they're going to be bringing in a new quarterback, a rookie quarterback. They tend to make mistakes. Nobody comes in. Peyton Manning didn't come in the league playing great. Like, it just doesn't happen.
And same thing with the Jags. The surprising thing to me is that the number is +110 to go under for both of them.
Yeah, I'll take those chances.
Yeah, I think I would expect them both to go 5-12 as opposed to 6-11 or anything above that. So Bengals 6.5. It is more likely that they go under than over per the numbers. Going under is -115. Going over, -105. Okay. Like a second year with Burrow? Like
I'll take the over on that. Not by a lot. But yeah. If they got to, 8-9 or 7-10, that wouldn't surprise me.
Do you think that the head coach, are we trusting him a little more now?
Well, no, we don't. But I still don't think a 10-loss team is a good team and or that head coach is still worth a damn. But he's either going to make his bones this year or they're going to have to fire him.
Yeah, I mean, this is third year. This is kind of make or break. He's been pretty dreadful.
He's been pretty awful to this point.
Yeah. Taylor said Urban's first year in the NFL is going to be interesting, to say the least. He also said the picture of Burrow on the throne where his leg scar, his front and center hurts. Then he said 7-17 for the Bengals wouldn't surprise me. I think he means 7-10.
He brought 7-10, yeah.
Yeah.
But I kind of think that's the floor if Burrow stays healthy. I really do. Last year, they were in the thick of so many games when he was there, even the ones that they lost. They still played great. They were one-score coin flip games towards the end. Cleveland – pulled a horseshoe out of their ass to beat them one time. They won a couple other games. I lost a couple other games that kind of went that way, but they were in to the very end. So it wouldn't surprise me for some of those coin flip games to just go their way.
Hey, Damien jumped in. Damien said, what's up? It's nice to see Damien in again.
I have to say, it's been a while,
man. It has been. Birdie jumps in. He said, if the Bengals draft well enough to cover O-line, they will go over. Yeah, maybe. I could see that.
You can't fix the line in a draft, though. You can definitely help it, but you can't fix a line in the draft. You really – Cleveland went out, and in one offseason, they went from the 30th out of 32 offensive line to the number one offensive line, and they didn't draft – they drafted one offensive lineman, okay? They did the rest with free agency. This is one thing the Bengals did not do at all. Now, I know this is an offensive line heavy draft, if they spend their first three picks on linemen, while that's great, man, those are all rookies, and you don't make it better that fast, and the chances of all of them hitting are slim and none. I just think that's an unwise way to attack it. They had cap money to use in the offseason, and they didn't go out and get any of the high-priced offensive linemen. That shocked me.
Birdie also said, talking this out, will the Bengals get any wins in division?
Yes.
Yeah, I think they're
absolutely.
I think they have the...
Like I said, they were a coin flip away from beating Cleveland last year in one of the games.
And they were close with the Ravens, I believe.
Yeah, I think they were close with the Ravens. I think
and the Steelers.
They did beat the Steelers.
Yeah, I think the Ravens...
That was when Burrow was hurt. So, absolutely, they can win games in this division. It wouldn't shock me if they go 3-3 in the division.
Let's see. I'm looking at the Bengals' 2020 schedule right now.
We don't know when they'll play who, but we know home and away yet already.
Yeah. We've got that. I'm just looking at the 2020 schedule, like what ended up happening last year. They lost, let's see, by 3 to the Chargers. They lost by 5 to the Browns, tied with the Eagles. Let's see. At Indianapolis, they lost by 4. Against Cleveland, they lost by 3. Against Pittsburgh, they got whipped by Pittsburgh. Let's see, they did beat Pittsburgh one of the games.
That was the late game without Burrow.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, I mean, they had some really close calls with Burrow in there. Like, they did not get whipped, really, against
Baltimore. When Burrow played, they didn't get beat by anybody badly except for the Steelers game.
Well, the Ravens beat them like a drum. 27-3 the first game, 38-3 the second game.
Okay. Then, all right.
Make sure I'm remembering
that second game. I'm going to bet Joe didn't play, but it didn't matter if they did the first game. But yeah, for the most part, like, he kept them in every game, make that team a little bit better, and they can turn. All I'm asking is for them to win some of the coin flip games. They don't need to win all of them.
Yeah, I agree.
So,
moving off of the Bengals, Falcons at 7, Giants at 7, and Eagles at 7.
Eagles, I don't think there's any way on earth they get 7 wins. Falcons, I probably could see that. I need Arthur Smith to step up. That's a team that should have been winning more ball games than not. We're gonna look back and see if Arthur Smith drastically changes this team around without a whole lot of personnel changes. How bad was Dan Quinn? Even though he did take this team to a Super Bowl, was that all Kyle Shanahan?
Yes,
I mean, was that 100% Kyle Shanahan?
That's maybe not, because they were still pretty good without Kyle Shanahan the next year. Like, under Sark, they were pretty good.
I don't know that they were pretty good. They took a pretty massive step backwards, considering what they did the year before.
I mean, they didn't score as many points, I'll say that. I mean, but they were still in the playoffs.
Everybody called Tom Brady a systems quarterback because when he got hurt, what's-his-ass came in and won 10 games for him.
Matt Castle.
Castle. And everybody realizes, wait a minute, that's 6 games less than they won the year before in the regular season. So if a team goes backwards 6 games, that's a damning indictment on the new person that changed in that spot, right?
Well, agreed. But at the same time, the schedule changes. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. You know this.
Hang on now. When you're the first place schedule every year, which the Patriots have always been until last year, their schedule didn't change a lot.
No, forget the Patriots. On to the Falcons, that whole thing when it switched from Shanahan over to Sarkisian, they were still in the playoffs with a chance to beat the eventual Super Bowl champion on the road.
That's fine. Just because you played a close game in the playoffs, I mean, they were massively different. Massively different. They took a huge step backwards.
Hey, you might be right about that. Either way, McKinnon jumped in.
I think if they come in and they win, Dan Quinn, we're going to look back and we're going to say, wow, Quinn was awful.
Awful, yeah. McKinnon said awful. Falcons could wholeheartedly be a 9-10 win team, depending on how the offseason goes, for the defense. If it doesn't go well, I 100% see them being under that 7-win mark. Yeah, I mean, this is kind of the Cowboys thing, right? Offense,
I guess you're like, right.
You got weapons. It's just, do you have anybody on defense that can stop anybody? And I don't know.
That's a question. You're right, because the Cowboys have tried this year in and year out the last couple of years, which is just that they're loading up on offense. They're doubling down on the strength on strength. Whatever we're good at, we're doubling down on. The things we're bad at, we're hoping they just don't kill us. But they continue to lose games on like a regular basis because they can't stop anybody. So, I mean, I could see that. Well, it'll be the Falcons will be interesting. That's the one I probably would stay away from the most. All the teams you've stayed off so far, I kind of have a feeling one way or the other about them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm
this
with
far
you.
Out. I have a feeling.
Matt Miller said some coaches just run their course. And Birdie said, agreed, Chris, about the Eagles. I can't lay a nickel of my money on Falcons futures. Damien, of course, our resident Chicagoan. Damn it, why didn't the Bengals stay with Carrot Top and the Bears get Burrow instead?
That would have been a nice trade-off for the Bears.
Yeah, I think so. Speaking of the Bears, we're moving into the 7.5 win total range. We have got the Panthers at 7.5, Bears 7.5, and the Broncos at 7.5. All of them are plus money to go over. A lot of juice on the under. Anybody you think can get there?
I need the Broncos to find a quarterback situation. I think the Broncos probably have one of the top three rosters in all of the NFL outside of a trigger man.
I mean, so 7.5 right now is basically saying this team is going to go either 7-10 or 8-9.
Yeah.
It would not shock me to see any of these teams go over, like at all. Bears won 8 games last year and made the playoffs. Yes. The Panthers went 7-9 last year, looked pretty good. And
I think all these teams could improve. I absolutely think Andy Dalton, while not a big upgrade, is an upgrade from the combination of Mitchell Trubisky and Nick Foles. So is he worth a game? And then you get an extra game, you know, can you win that? You're over. Do we think the Packers take a step backwards at all? Or do they just destroy that, you know, division? I don't know. Broncos, like I said, they're not awful at quarterback, but they probably have one of the worst quarterback rooms in the NFL.
The rest of that team is loaded. Yes, they are way loaded. Like the Broncos, I'm curious to see because a lot of people, you know, a lot of these mocks have them taking Trey Lance or Mac Jones.
If they get one of the top five best quarterbacks, I think I would like them to go over even with the rookie quarterback.
I think so as well. The Panthers, you know, you bring in Sam Darnold, they're plus 110 to go over. I trust Matt Rhule. I trust Joe Brady. But that's a tough division that they're in, obviously. Yep. But at the same time, I mean, what are the Saints going to be without Drew Brees? Like, we don't know.
I actually like the Panthers to go over more than the other two. I need to see the other two do something. The Panthers, I don't need to see them do anything. I actually think that if they can just stay healthy and not have the injury bug hit them the way they did, I like them probably to go just to take a game or two better than last year. What does Matt Rhule do? He makes everything he touches better. Now, sometimes he takes massive steps forward. I don't think that's going to happen in the NFL, but I absolutely do not see him going backwards after year one. And there's a world in which Teddy Bridgewater is still the best quarterback on that roster, and he keeps his job.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I trust Rhule and Brady to make that decision.
I'll tell you this.
I trust those offensive minds and that team as an organization better than I trust the Broncos and better than I trust the Bears right now.
And
it ain't close. It ain't from a front office perspective of people making decisions and the coaches on the field calling games. It's not close.
There's a chasm of difference.
The Broncos is way better. The roster talent overall for the Bears is probably better. It doesn't matter. It's the men on the sidelines making decisions. And I trust, and it's not that they're marketably better. I just think they're going to always take steps forward. I've seen the other two organizations take steps backwards.
Well, so Matt Miller jumps in. He said, John Elway is no longer the GM. Patton is, and he has been ridiculously good this offseason.
But
we haven't seen anything more than this offseason. We don't know how it's played out yet.
Until they find a trigger man, I can't make any decisions. Right now, it's way too early. I need to see the draft happen.
Yeah. Damian Hernandez, Matt Rhule is better than Pete Carroll. Ryan Johnson jumps in and said, Jake Paul versus Chris.
I would not do that at all. Listen, I'll tell you this. I've had my ass whooped by smaller guys, so it wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah, I can believe that.
You pay me $500K, I will take a shot to the chin and fall to the ground.
There you go. I agree with that. I agree. I would do the same thing.
Which is what I absolutely think happened.
Oh, yes. 100%. It's all entertainment. That's why they got Justin Bieber and Snoop Dogg.
It was awful, by the way. It was awful. I actually did stream it. I did stream it.
I did.
It's against all the morals I have in me. I couldn't give those people money, but I kind of had to see it because Twitter was going crazy about it. So I kind of hated myself afterwards, like really hated myself. But it was pretty horrible, like the whole show and everything.
Yes.
Pretty awful. It definitely one of those things where if you want to do a show, this is one of those where 6 minutes goes a long way. So when you make it 20 minutes, it's like eye gouging bad.
Yeah. Yes. I agree 100%. 100%. Birdie asked, why didn't the Broncos go get Bridgewater or Brissett? That's a good question. Because I think if they had just a dependable quarterback, not even like a playmaker.
Jacoby, I would say I would have loved to have seen Jacoby take a job where he could. I do think he probably went to the best place for him. He probably went somewhere where, A, he has relationship with the people making decisions from the Patriots time in Miami. And I think he thinks there's a world where he can start there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Let's see, Matt Miller, if the Broncos get average quarterback play, they could win the division. I'm fine with Drew. I just want competition for him in camp. Yeah, their playmakers are absurd.
I'm not against Locke completely. He's not the worst quarterback in the league by far. I need somebody to push him. I'd like somebody better than him. I think I know his ceiling, and that's what scares me. And when he gets hurt, which he's gotten hurt 2 years in a row, I guess the first year he didn't play a lot. He got thrown in late, and then last year he didn't play a lot because he got hurt. I think he has a ceiling, okay? And when he's not in there, man, that team really struggles.
Yeah, Birdie said the Broncos have a crazy good roster. Their O-line needs to improve, but he likes the Broncos over. Matt Miller said, I'm hoping San Francisco is stupid and Fields falls to us or we trade up. Ryan jumped in, and he led off the Jake Paul thing by saying Jake Paul is a joke, which, you know, I don't know that he's a joke. I know he's he has found a way to make money. I think he
paid that guy to fall down.
I think he's found a way to capitalize on his current online fame, and he is making money hand over fist.
That's
He just paid Ben Askren, a former MMA guy, $500,000 to take a fall. That's crazy.
To take a fall. I literally, did you see the thing on Twitter that I shared out that where like Ben getting just his brains beat in?
Oh,
in an MMA fight.
Yeah, by Robbie Lawler.
He got up and won that fight.
Yes, I've seen him.
And Jake Paul hits him with a cross. And yes, he caught him on the chin, but he drops. And then that's the fight. Like, come on, dude. Like a real MMA fighter with not boxing gloves hit him about the face and with elbows about the face for about 3 minutes. And he won that fight. He won that fight that he got his face beat in.
It's so just ridiculous.
It's really hard to think one punch knocked him out. But I'm not a doctor. I just used to play one when I was little. What do I know?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. Let's see. Taylor said Chris was so bored on Saturday. Hold on. I had something else pop up here. Chris was so bored on Saturday, he decided to buy the match. Didn't buy, but, you know. Chris would be a good NFL GM, says Ryan. Yeah, I do believe that.
I definitely would be a good assistant to the GM. I would say the things in the room that everybody's afraid to say.
Matt Miller said, I don't pay for boxing at all anymore. It's rigged, and 99% of the fights are boring. You and I have not bought a boxing match.
We've got a lot of MMA stuff.
Yeah, but we haven't bought boxing stuff since, what was that fight that we were so, it was a Triple G and Canelo.
Was that two?
No, I think it was the first one. I think we were so aghast at the fact that they called it a split draw.
That might have been it.
Because
it
was so obvious who won the fight. Like,
I don't stream this stuff usually. I'll go somewhere to an establishment where they pay for it. It's my seat is basically accounted for.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Ryan Johnson, does anyone know where Brock Osweiler is? I think he's out of the league, isn't he?
Yeah, I think the heist has taken his money and ran.
Yes. We've got somebody that hopped in asking who do we think the best footballer in the world is? And he wants to know if it's Messi, Ronaldo, Mbappe, Neymar. different show, my friend. Different show. Yeah,
Wonder Boy is who I would go with. My boy Christian Pasel.
Pulisic, right?
Pulisic, yeah. Sorry, I can't talk.
Taylor, I always say if I'm in the position to do so, I'm hiring Chris as my AD. Damien said Askren didn't learn shit from the Nate Robinson fight. And Matt Miller said I paid for that fight, too. It was the first one, and Triple G easily won. It got called a split, and I was done. Yeah, that's exactly what we did.
I remember. Yeah, we got in one of those. I couldn't remember which one it was.
It was that first one. And we had Mike Glenn, owner or former owner of the New Daisy, former boxing promoter, there with us, and it was a complete joke. There was no way that Triple G didn't win that fight.
That's right.
So anyway, all right, moving back onto the NFL stuff. We've got three teams with a win total of 8. We've got the Cardinals, and going over, you got to pay some juice on that. It's -140 for the over. The Raiders, 8, and Washington, 8. The Raiders, it's +115 to go over. Washington is -105 to go over. Anything look off on this?
I like the Washington football team to go over. I do not like the Cardinals. I actually think they are going to take a step backwards. I think the league has figured out
Kyler Murray.
No, not necessarily Kyler. I think they figured Cliff out. And I don't think it took them long.
Yeah, I think you might be right about that.
I think he...
Listen, I mean, they went 8-8 last year.
This was my thought when he came from college, okay? A guy that's never won at the college level can't go to the pros and win. That's just not going to happen. That's not how football has ever worked in the 100 years of football.
I tend to agree. So
I think they're going to take a massive step backwards.
Not to mention the Cardinals are in maybe the most difficult toughest division
in football. Yeah, they're going to take a step backwards. The team that I have a weird feeling about, at some point in time, is Chucky going to get things right in Vegas?
I could maybe see it. Like, +115 to go over 8 kind of surprised me.
So he's had 3 drafts since he's been with the Raiders, okay, in his 3 years signed as the GM. They've had 5 first-round picks in those time. 1 is still on the roster, and that's your boy from Alabama, the running back.
Yeah, Josh Jacobs.
Well, now, the rookies from last year are there too, but they haven't done anything. He has basically taken, like they say that first round's all bust. He's had more first round picks than anybody in the last 3 years, and he hasn't hit one yet. His running back, which is the least valuable position in the league.
Yeah, that's the scary thing. I mean, obviously, more juice is on the under, and that's for a reason.
At some point in time, is he going to figure this thing out? This is a team that had the best offensive line in football 2 years ago, and now they have one of the worst offensive lines in football.
The opposite of the Browns.
I can't figure that. How did you screw that up?
You got me. I mean, you got me. I don't know at all.
I can't figure out. And I want the Vegas Raiders to be good because I love Vegas, and it's not going to be exciting if they're not good. This is alarming to me. It's weird to me. It's confusing to me.
This feels like a team that could absolutely drop off, right? Mariota stayed with them on like a $3 million deal.
Yeah.
But I don't think we trust Carr. Like, I like some of the weapons, especially the tight end. Waller, I don't know, man.
I don't either. I can't figure it. And here's the thing. It's not that I don't like Carr. I think Carr could easily be like Joe Flacco level good. Like he could be that level good.
You just have to build everything else around him, right?
But you just have to put a team around him at some point, okay? He's not Russell Wilson who can win games on his own. All right. Like he's not Watson. He's not some of these elite guys that I think put him on a shit team and they can win. But if you put him on a good team and you support him with anything at all, I think he's way better than average. Like, if he was the Broncos quarterback, I'd think the Broncos could, A, win that division and compete for a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, that's the level good I think he is. But the problems, Gruden is just not committed to him at all.
No.
In any way.
No, he hasn't.
And all the skill players that he puts around him are like 50-50 guys. Like, maybe good, maybe not. I don't know.
He goes out and the one that he's hit on feels like it's maybe been Hunter Renfro, but like what exactly did he hit on?
Okay.
Like he's just a dependable possession receiver.
You might have a guy that plays in the league at a moderate to high level for 4 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Somewhere around there.
Good job.
It's so ridiculous.
Hunter Renfro going to win you Super Bowl? Is he going to make a catch that Edelman made in the playoffs? I mean, is he going to do that? Because I don't see that.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Hey, Taylor wants to know, do y'all listen to each other's solo shows?
I do.
Yeah, I listen. I listen to Chris's all the time.
I got
to
know what the hell he's talking about. Hey, Gary has more information than I have, so he's just smarter than I am. That's.
I don't know that I'm smarter. I just I waste a lot more time reading and whatnot.
You waste time.
I've got a bunch of articles all the time. Joseph,
way more informed than me. That's true.
Joseph said, but you got better opinions. So okay. Raiders being bad just makes the Chiefs better.
I mean, that's a true statement. Somebody in your division sucking
definitely helps the other teams. That's for sure. Ryan Johnson, did you watch that guy get stretchered off in that boxing match Saturday after saying he took a low blow?
When he got hit in the stomach, then held his ding-a-ling.
Yeah.
And then, like, they took him on a stretcher. Listen, I've been hit in the nuts a lot in my life. Just when you're an asshole, it happens. I've never felt as if I needed to go to the hospital for it. Or
I feel like
if
it was all
I did had to go to the hospital, that I couldn't, like, limp or walk or something there. Like,
I saw the video.
This is not a stretcher situation.
I saw the video on Twitter, and I really feel like it was all for show.
I don't think that the last fight was fixed. I think it was all choreographed. I think this was wrestling.
Yeah.
I think Thriller has become a boxing level sports entertainment.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely entertaining. Like, if you're looking for just like a 3-ring circus sideshow kind of thing, it falls right in line. It's perfect.
What killed everybody is, in the Tyson fight, that's our first taste that we ever got of Snoop Dogg behind a mic calling a fight, and everybody loved it. And now they took this one thing that everybody liked that they thought they could capitalize on, and they bastardized it so badly.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
They had like 6 people on the booth trying to call the fight. No. You need Snoop. You need one guy who actually knows what the hell he's talking about. Like, you need a funny man, you need a straight man, and you need Snoop. That's what you need. Because Snoop's not going to be funny, but Snoop's going to say the crazy shit everybody else is afraid to say and can't say. And then you need a straight man. That's it. That's the list. You don't need 6 guys where one guy has a brain, the other guy is Snoop, and then everybody else is a nutsack.
Yeah. Yeah. Going through the comments right quick. Joseph Gomez said Carr made Nelson Aguilar look good. That says a lot. That is true. But we'll see. I mean, Aguilar might be great in New England this year. You never know.
Be careful with the word great, but we'll see. I hope so.
Matt Miller said, I know a soccer player in high school that got his testicle smashed and then continued to play. There's no way I would continue to play. There's no chance.
Hell no. Why? Why would you continue to play? That's my question to him. Not are you able? Why are you doing this?
There you go. McKinnon, so when are we going to get someone decent to knock Jake Paul the F out?
I think as soon as he fights an actual boxer.
Yeah, and there's talk that his next opponent is going to be an actual boxer. He's 3-0. His professional record is 3-0, but he has not faced an actual boxer yet. Yeah. So
He hasn't fought a sanctioned fight yet.
Let's see, Joseph Gomez, if he doesn't lose a nut, it was all for show. Ryan wants to know, do we think John Jones is scared of Francis? Absolutely not.
I don't think John Jones is afraid of anybody. I don't know that he's smart enough to be afraid of anybody, but also don't think he should be afraid of anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. Taylor, I'd take the Italian Stallion over Jake Paul every day. 100%.
I appreciate that. I might take that dive, though, so be careful with your money.
Ryan Johnson, so when Ben got up and wobbled, it was acting? Possibly. I mean, when he was walking out of the ring,
he took a shot to the face, okay? I 100% think he took a shot to the face. That happened.
Yeah.
I think the shot threw him to the ground. That happened. Him not being capable of getting back up and fighting did not happen.
I found it strange.
Because I've seen him take shots to the face and continue to fight and actually win those fights against people who hit far harder than Jake and aren't wearing gloves.
I was what threw it for me, like in the actual fight, like when you watch the video, yeah, he looks like he's wobbling. He looks like he's having some trouble there. I get that. But seeing him walk out of the ring and have no problems, no wobbling, no nothing. He was smiling. His wife was smiling.
Laughing. Yeah.
You know, like maybe just hide it a little more. Maybe. I don't know. Matt Miller wants to know why Pete Davidson's famous. He isn't funny and looks like Randall the Snitch from the show recently.
I just saw that comment. I don't know the answer to that. You're talking to a guy that really loves comedy. I
I've never been able to get into Pete Davidson.
I can't do it. I've tried, and I'm not like super critical of comedy. I like all kinds of comedy, man.
He's famous because of Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
Like that's what it was. That's, you know.
Yeah, that happened. How did that happen? Can we ask that?
She was young, like really young. He was a smartass. You know that the girls that, you know, come up through the Disney World date.
This is a half-baked thought right here, but let me ask this, okay?
Okay.
Is there some type of hedge fund that like women like Ariana Grande could do? Like, you know how hedge funds will bet on like these unknown like companies, and then one of them will get famous and become Facebook, and that hedge fund will make a gajillion dollars, right? If you're Ariana Grande, do you just like kind of nail a bunch of losers, and then if one of them becomes Pete Davidson, like you get to live off the residuals of Pete Davidson because you basically made Pete Davidson?
Maybe. I mean, remember,
if that's not like a thing, it should be a thing.
Remember,
she should be getting like 30% of his money for the rest of his life.
Well, I mean, she kind of did the same thing with Mac Miller, and Mac Miller's dead, but
but you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see exactly what you're saying, because like I was listening to Mac Miller a long time before Ariana Grande dated him, and he was not famous at all.
No, I'm about to say nobody else was.
Yeah, no, he was not famous.
Nobody else was listening to him.
But then all of a sudden, like they date, and he becomes like,
I think she's entitled to like
residuals,
a portion of their estates for the rest of eternity, perpetuity.
Joseph Gomez said, if you can date Ariana Grande and rebound with Kate Beckinsale, life can't be bad. No, that's true.
I just don't know how he does this.
I don't either. Some people just got it, and I'm sure he's got it. But you know,
and I'm sure we don't see it, but I'm sure he's got it.
Brown Yeti said, sup, fellas. It's nice to see the Yeti in here. McKinnon, I will say he took Dan Crenshaw calling him out pretty well by having him on the show and making fun of each other. That said, I still think he's a douche. Yeah, I can believe that. Let's see. Brown Yeti's like, what did I come into? A disaster. Today's show is a disaster. Yeah,
I don't even know what we're talking about. Oh, football totals.
Yeah, we're going over totals. We'll get back to that.
That's what this is. This is that.
Let's see. Ryan said, hope Whitaker knocks out Izzy next fight. I think a lot of people hope that he knocks him out. So let's get back into the win totals here. Vikings, 8.5. Pretty even odds on both sides. -115 to go over. Look, the Vikings seem like they are going, you know, downwards a little bit. But if they can get the defensive back room fixed, I think they might be okay.
That's a team that I'm afraid of. They could be 3 games better than this, and they could be 5 games worse than this.
I don't know about 5 games worse.
Yeah, I mean, guess that'd be a three and a half win team would be pretty bad, but I don't know.
Taylor said, we're still in the win totals. Yeah, we're still in the win totals. the Chargers are sitting at 9 to go over is +105. Are we asking a lot for a second year quarterback here?
I don't think so. And
when we're talking 9-8, this isn't 9-7.
Yeah, that's I mean, you've got to remember you get the extra game.
Yeah. So I think that's okay. Like,
I'm okay with that. I'm nervous about the coaching situation, but we'll see.
Dolphins, Patriots, and Steelers all sitting at 9.
I kind of think I might take the under on all of those.
Steelers are +105 to go over, -125 to go under. Pats are +105 to go under, and the Dolphins are +115 to go under. A lot of Vegas love for the Dolphins.
Yeah, well, yeah, naturally, but I just don't. I think the Dolphins play a lot of people close. I don't think they win a lot of games.
I tend to agree. I mean, they fight really hard, but I don't think they're good enough to really dominate anybody. And
I'm gonna see big strides from Tua in order for that, because I think at some point in time he's gonna have to be the one to make them better.
Yes, yes, and we have not seen that yet. We got 3 sitting at 9.5. Titans, Saints, Cowboys, 9.5 each. The Cowboys to go under 9.5 is -130. The Saints are -140 to go under, and the Titans are -130 to go under.
I don't know who's going to win any of these games, but I kind of like the under on all 3 of these as well.
I tend to agree. I think the Titans, without Arthur Smith running that offense, now obviously they have swapped offensive coordinators, you know,
regularly. I think Arthur was different.
I think so
Arthur was a problem solver.
Yes.
That's the difference.
I'm curious. I don't know what to think of the Saints without Drew Brees at this point.
Yep. It's not without Drew Brees. It's if they went out and got a capable quarterback, I'd have been fine. If they named Jameis the starter, I would probably go over here. I really would. And you know my opinions on Jameis. I cannot see a 17-game season with this weird-ass quarterback play working.
The just, Taysom Hill stuff.
Call me an old man, stick me in a corner in a rocking chair, and just let me wait out my days. I can't do it. It's really hard football to watch.
Yeah, yeah. It's weird. Ben said Crab Legs is the capable quarterback. Yeah, it's. I agree,
but for some reason they are not committing to him, and they're giving what $14 million.
Well, it's all voidable. It's you know, yes, you know
it's how all voidable. But if he plays this year, he's gonna get the $14 million.
Yeah, I don't understand.
About next year, I'm talking about this year. One guy's gonna make $2 million. The other guy's gonna make $14 million.
You know that I love Sean Payton, and I love when he gets super creative, and that's what I'm curious about.
I can't see, I can't do it. My part of this is just going to be the aesthetics. I just can't do a full season of this Taysom Hill shit. I would rather watch Jameis, and you know I don't like Jameis. I'd give me Jameis 100 times out of 100 over this Taysom Hill shit. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Peyton shows me wrong. I just don't think he's going to.
I don't think so either. I think Jameis by week 4 or 5, somewhere around there, I think Jameis.
Tim Tebow won a Super Bowl in a playoff game, sorry. And ever since then, offensive geniuses have just been trying to solve this Rubik's Cube of guys like Tim Tebow. Listen, Taysom ain't close to as good as Tim, and Tim wasn't good enough to be a quarterback in this league. What are we doing?
I wish I knew. I wish I knew.
What the hell are we doing? I mean, we're just going to waste a season of everybody's contract to see if this thing can work that we've got historical data telling us nobody's been able to make it work so far.
My God. Some of these comments, man. I'm just... Matt Miller said, you don't believe in the Mormon God Taysom Hill?
I do not.
And he said Pete Davidson should be playing him in that movie. They're both D-backs.
God. I don't know that Taysom is a D-bag.
I don't know.
I can't do 17. Listen, 4 games or Drew Brees is resting a boo-boo, I'm okay with. Give me that. That's fine. I can suck it up. I can swallow it. Not, you're talking a 17-game season. I can't do it. I just can't do it.
It's a Ben said, this is so random. What's with this Pete Davidson hate? We had a discussion about the Triller boxing thing on Saturday night. So that's all this is. It's not that random, but it's still kind of random. This has been a very random show. We got a few more to run through. Right. We got 4 teams with 10 as their win total. Browns, Colts, 49ers, and Seahawks. The 49ers one.
Yeah.
They are -140 to go over 10.
Yeah.
Seahawks are +105. Colts are -110. Browns are -115.
Okay. I like all of them but the Colts to go over. I'm gonna need Frank Wright to be a mother effing god if he's gonna pull this Carson Wentz thing out of his ass.
If this was set at 9, it would make a whole lot more sense to me.
A little bit.
Like 9 and 8, but now obviously we believe in the Colts roster, but at the same time they don't have a ton of weapons for Carson Wentz anyway. Yeah. So like, even if Carson Wentz is good. There's it's still not like
that team is crazy talent. Like,
yeah, there's a ceiling. They've got
the best offensive line in the world, and they have a really good defense, and then they have a genius for a head coach. But at some point in time, you need more than that.
Yeah, I agree.
They have an idiot for a quarterback. And a baby, by the way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And a baby. What do you think about Seahawks? Have we moved past the Russell Wilson is pissed off thing?
If Russell's there, I trust Russell Wilson to play to win no matter where he's at or how happy he is. I do not think his happiness and his feelings will affect him on the field. He's one of the few quarterbacks in the league I actually think will actually play to win more than he cares about his happiness. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think that list is very long. And so I trust him on that. I think that team is getting better. I do think Pete Carroll is a good head coach and he still knows what he's doing. And I think they'll get better. Marketably better. I don't know. It's still up in the air, but I trust them to get to 10 wins in a 17-game season.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think so as well. Your Brownies, you feel good about?
Oh 10. Yeah, no, we're getting. Yeah, this is
11 and 6.
I know it's insane. I think this Browns team's gonna be really good. Like, shock the shit out of people. Good.
Brownie, yeah, he said the Colts' weapons are what? T.Y. over the hill.
Yeah,
like, yeah, pretty much at this point. Yeah. Moving,
they got some white guy tied in, and is Eric Ebron still there?
No, Ebron's like, in.
Oh, he's
in
with Pittsburgh. The Steelers now, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't even know who's there.
Bills and the Rams both at 10.5. Do we trust the Rams at 10.5? Because Matt Stafford came in.
Well, Matt Stafford's a hell of a lot better than Jared Goff, so yeah.
Yeah, but he's been going through injury issues and all
it
that.
It doesn't matter. It'd be a broken-down Matt Stafford's a lot better than Jared Goff. Okay. A lot better than Jared Goff.
The Rams to go over, by the way, plus 105. The Bills to go over is minus 130.
Yeah, I definitely think. I like the Bills to go under. I think the Bills are just getting better, man.
Yes, I think so, too. And then finally, we got four teams left, two at 11. The Ravens and the Packers, both 11 wins. Packers are plus 105 to go over. Ravens are minus 105 to go over. That kind of surprised me with the Ravens. Not for any other reason than, like, did they get to 11 last year or did they go 10-6?
Well, I mean, if they didn't go to 11, they also didn't play an extra game, so.
Yeah, and I mean, they got a playoff win.
They're gonna do what they did last year and win the extra game.
Yeah, likely so.
I like the Ravens. Listen, you can mock them for what they want. We can shit on, you know, Lamar all we want. That's fine. I love him, and I think they're a really good football team. They're a great roster. They're one of the best ran organizations in the league. It pisses me off, makes me sick, but I can't help it. They're really good at what they do. This draft is loaded with receiver talent. I think they're going to take one at some point in time in the first or second round, and I think that guy's going to be the best receiver on the team.
Better than Hollywood Brown.
Yes. Hollywood Brown has not been what we thought at all.
No, you're 100% right about that. So. Finally, the last two, of course, the Bucs at 11.5. They are plus 100 to go over. That seemed a little odd to me. I figured that would have been minus odds. They would have been favored to go over in that situation. But is what it is. I mean, they bring back everybody from a Super Bowl winning team, yeah, and they hit their
plus
stride.
Plus 100 late. Is just even money.
Yes, it's even money, but
There's no juice.
Like, that surprised me. And then the Chiefs, over 12, is minus 130. Seems like a lot. But they absolutely, you know, they just kind of turned it on when they wanted to last year. I'm curious about the offensive line.
I need to get through this draft. If the Broncos pick up a quarterback, I'd take the under on the Chiefs because I think that's an extra game that they lose, at least one of them. I need to see how some of the other teams that these teams play fair. We didn't talk about the Packers. This is something nobody ever talks about. Okay. People like to, like, back in the day, they before Tom Brady put numbers up that we just can't argue with anymore.
Yeah.
They would always say, oh, well, he's only great. The Patriots are only great because the rest of their division suck. But nobody ever says that about, like, the Packers. When the Bears and the Lions and the Vikings just blew dick for a decade.
That is,
like,
true.
Like, nobody ever talked about that. Like, nobody ever brings up the fact that there are other shit divisions out there, and the best team, the dominant team, quote unquote, in those divisions never do what the Patriots did.
That is 100% true.
So, anyway.
Yet he said 12 with that O-line. The Chiefs will win 11. Yeah, but there's 17 games in the season.
Yeah, there's 17 games. I need to see how. Right now, I don't think their division is scary. And if you can sweep your division, man, I think you can do a lot of things. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Like, I think that they could absolutely lose a game to the Broncos. They could lose a game to the Chargers. I don't think. Like, they lost to the Raiders last year.
Hell, they lost to the Raiders, and they almost lost to the Raiders twice. And they were the worst team in that division last year. So, I can't. It's the NFL. It's a weird-ass league. 12's probably too high for me right now. They don't look unbeatable. I would almost – if you told me that I had to flip the numbers from the Bucs and the Chiefs, and I had to take the Bucs at the over and the Chiefs at the under, I'd rather do that than than take the under of the Bucks at the smaller number and the over at the Chiefs with the bigger number.
Yeah, I could get with that. I can get with that.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
We got a lot of news topics we're going to run through.
So we'll run through some of this stuff.
You ready to fly?
Yeah.
All right. Let's start off with the first one. Deshaun Watson. Response from his attorney. Obviously, we've been following the story. It would be irresponsible for us not to hit on things when they come out, especially something along these lines. They responded to all of the lawsuits that were filed. There's 22 of them right now. There were 23 filed. One was thrown out, quote-unquote, for now. The answer filed on Monday says the lawsuits filed against Watson are, quote, replete with mischaracterizations of his conduct. These range from being misleading to fraudulent to slanderous, the document says. Importantly, only two of the 22 lawsuits allege that Mr. Watson forced any type of sexual activity, an allegation Mr. Watson, again, vehemently denies. His legal response alleges that eight of the plaintiffs massaged Watson, all bragged about, praised, and were excited about massaging Mr. Watson. The document also says seven plaintiffs willingly worked or offered to work with Mr. Watson after their alleged incidents. Three plaintiffs lied about the number of sessions they actually had. Three of them lied about their alleged trauma and resulting harm. And five of them told others they wanted to get money out of Watson.
Okay.
Thoughts?
So, the only two had a sexual issue is not necessarily the case, because if he rubbed his erect penis and pre-cum on them, then that's going to be considered a sexual thing. All right? That's still... he's taking the two that say that they were coerced into blowing him as the only two that he made do anything sexual. That's his interpretation of that, not theirs. The ones, if they ever shared out anything publicly or openly about like wanting to work with him again and being excited about working with him in the future, that's going to hurt them. And they're probably going to now lose those cases. Like these are things that you would think the attorney for the plaintiffs would want to know that information happened before now.
Yeah.
Before you take that case. So if you can't show any proof where they shared out anything or they sent any messages back and forth stating that they, you know, were excited to work with him and pleased to be with him again or whatever, that's now it's just a he said, she said thing again. So, and then 100%, I think some of these women were absolutely, they saw everyone else doing it, and now they want to see if they can get in on the money. That's absolutely happening. That doesn't mean that some of them aren't still victims.
Oh, agreed. This is actually what his attorney said. He said, it was not until the plaintiffs saw an opportunity for a money grab that they changed their stories to convert therapy sessions they bragged about to friends and family to something much more nefarious.
Now, how do you know that they bragged? Like, that's an assumption. That's a shitty thing that the attorney is saying is these women, they were so thrilled to be with him. How do you know that? How do you know that they called mom and said, I just massaged Deshaun Watson?
Well, unless they have, you know, pictures of text messages and all that kind of stuff, yeah, or DMs or whatever.
Like, that's a hard thing to prove. It's a real easy thing to say. Yes. If you don't have proof of that, you just made that up.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Very interesting. We'll move off of that one. Obviously, I don't like talking about it, but it is something that we do have to discuss on the show. Let's go ahead and move into Alden Smith territory. obviously something else we don't like talking about. We were very excited. He got his second chance. He was going to play for the Seahawks. Everything was good. He got 5.5 sacks last year with the Cowboys. Things were looking up. And then you get this story from 1:12 p.m. Central Time today. A warrant has been issued for the arrest of Seattle Seahawks defensive end Alden Smith for an alleged second-degree battery that occurred in the New Orleans area on Saturday evening. St. Bernard Parish District Attorney Perry Nicosia confirmed. He said that Smith allegedly choked a victim unconscious during a confrontation that began inside a coffee house in Chalmette, Louisiana, and that the warrant was signed by the court a day later. Some people cannot get out of their own way. Now, this, I don't know if this is the exact same as the Aaron Donald incident. This is a one-on-one situation. This was not a group of people beating the mess out of a guy at a nightclub. This was a coffee house. Like, what are we doing? Like, this is insane. I can't stand seeing this because, obviously, you know, Alden Smith, super talented guy, but had all these problems with the 49ers, man, and he just couldn't get out of his own way, and he finally worked his way back, and he's no longer suspended. He's not dealing with any of those issues anymore, and then you get something like this. It says the alleged incident rises to a second-degree battery because the victim was rendered unconscious. And he said the victim was taken to a hospital but did not have to stay overnight. Matt Miller jumps in. As someone progressing through life, I found 80 to 90% are not capable of change at a certain point. Most people just get better at hiding their flaws instead of actual change.
I agree with that, by the way.
Yeah, I think we both do. We've talked about this.
As somebody who's getting older, I absolutely agree with the fact that I'm not changing.
My flaws
in this world, I just tried to hide from people.
I would have to imagine that he went through therapy and he went through all these different courses and anger
I'm imagining that. That's the problem, you're imagining these things. I'm pretty sure they just didn't happen.
I just don't see how he was able to get back into the NFL without him.
Well, just time. People forget. People move on.
Yeah, and if he's not arrested,
what do you mean?
Yeah, I guess
the NFL is definitely not a place that punishes you for the rest of your life. If you can play.
Ain't that the truth? I mean, it just blows my mind. Dallas must be really good at hiding stuff, because like you're telling me, he went through an entire season with nothing happening, and then all of a sudden this pops out. It's like,
but hang on now. There's a world where he didn't do anything during the season because he's busy.
Yeah,
an idle hands, devil plate things kind of situation. This shit happens in the offseason with these guys.
We had COVID going on.
A lot of money and a lot of time.
We had the pandemic. It was much harder to be out around people, and now everybody's kind of starting
to get
out.
And a lot of anger built up for most of them. These are aggressive dudes that have a lot of money and a lot of free time in the offseason.
That's true. Yeah, he did just sign like a massive contract. Not a massive contract, but a pretty big contract.
Yeah.
Matt Miller said also court mandated doesn't matter because you only change if you want to, and he doesn't care or see his flaws. He will see no need for a change. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, that is true. All right, let's move on from there, and let's talk about the NFL comeback player of the year last year, Mr. Alex Smith. Obviously, he was cut from the Washington Redskins, Washington football team, whatever they are called now, and he announced his retirement from football today. Part of me kind of glad that I don't have to cringe every time I see him take the field, which I know is awful, because obviously he could play last year.
Yeah.
But every time I see him, I think about him getting hurt. And I almost couldn't watch games that he was playing in, which is terrible.
Is it weird to think he was a former number one overall player?
Yes, because he played at Utah.
Well, not just he played at Utah. Like, he's not close to what I think of when I think of number one overall player.
I'll tell you this. How about this? Strange to you that this guy has been in the league for 16 years. He was a number one pick. He was coached by Dan Mullen and Urban Meyer, and Urban Meyer is just now getting his first NFL crack. That surprise you?
No, because Urban's always been a college guy.
McKinnon said, chances he becomes a coach. I could see that.
Maybe. Works on staff somewhere. I don't know. It just depends on how much he wants to be around the game still. I don't know.
Well, he turns 37 next month. He announced his decision in a 2-minute, 12-second video posted to Instagram. He said he wants to spend more time with his family. However, like, he was released last month, But there's a very large part of me that believes that this was because he didn't get any offers. That's the only thing. I think he would still be playing.
I mean, Julian Edelman retired because the Patriots released him.
Yeah,
he didn't retire, and the Patriots were like, oh, now we got to find another receiver. Like, this is definitely not a chicken and egg thing. We know what came first.
Yes, Matt Miller said he was really good for like a 5 to 6 year stretch. Well, yeah, that happened to coincide with him going to Andy Reid.
And, I was about to say Andy Reid getting to Kansas City is what that had to do with.
And he was even good with Washington for a little bit, you know? Like it wasn't long that he was there before he got hurt.
He wasn't bad under Harbaugh.
No, it really wasn't.
No, he got hurt.
He just had a ceiling on what he could do. But he also had a ceiling, right? Like you always look at the guy that's behind him or whatever that has all this potential. And oh, if I can just find whatever button.
Therein
lies
the problem with him, is you're right, is he never did anything exceptional to a point to where there's always somebody that could come around you with a more live arm. He never had the best arm, way better wheels. Like he was really good at a lot of things. He wasn't the best at anything.
If he had gone the Ryan Fitzpatrick route, he would have made a fortune, because Fitzpatrick never signed a bunch of long-term deals.
Hell no. He just went 2 year deals.
Next year, next year, next year, next year.
That's right.
And I think it was kind of the same thing. It's you know what Fitzpatrick's ceiling is. You know what he can do. He is a steady hand. He will lead your offense.
I actually don't think we know what Fitzpatrick's ceiling is. I believe Fitzpatrick could be the best. I believe he could be the starting quarterback on a Super Bowl team.
Well, we might get the chance to see it this year. Yeah. You never know. Him and Washington. I mean, him and Ron, man.
I love that team. You know I love that team. I think that's one of the most talented teams in football.
I think Washington replaced Alex Smith with another Alex Smith that just has a beard.
Way higher ceiling, though.
You think
way
so?
Higher ceiling.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so.
I mean, it's not close.
This is what Smith said, by the way, in the video. He said, even though I've got plenty of snaps left in me, wink, wink, after 16 years of giving this game everything I've got, I can't wait to see what else is possible. First, I'll take a little time to enjoy a few of those walks with my wife, and my kids have no idea what's coming for them in the backyard. I mean, cheers to him. I'm glad he's going to do it. But would it surprise me if he gets a call up from somebody that has a quarterback injury? Nah, wouldn't surprise me at all. All right, moving on from there, let's talk a little NBA/college basketball, and that would be Brad Stevens. It came out over the weekend that Indiana offered him a 7-year, $70 million deal to be the head coach of the Hoosiers. And is there anything, like, if you were asked to go and do a very similar job elsewhere for basically $70 million guaranteed over 7 years, $10 million a year, is there anything that you would not do that for?
Yeah, but here's the reason. Because you can't just say, I make nothing and then I make $10 million, or I make $50,000 a year or $100,000 a year or $10 million. Like, I don't know what he's making with the Celtics, but I'm going to bet it's somewhere around six.
I'm about to look that up right now.
Okay. And so if you're telling me for $4 million a year, would I go do a job I knowingly don't like, or I can stay where I'm at and keep doing this job? While $4 million a year over 7 years is a lot of money, I think I would stay at the job I'm happy at before I take a job I don't like. But this is coming from a guy who's had a lot of jobs he didn't like and finally got to a place where, you know, there are things that I know that I'm good at and there are things I know that I'm not. As long as I stay in the wheelhouse of things I know I'm good at, I can be happy regardless of how much money I make.
Yeah, okay. I can
I've worked jobs where I made substantially more money than I make now, and I wanted to blow my brains out on a monthly basis.
Let's see. In August, they signed him to a contract extension. Let's see. He signed a 6-year, $22 million contract that ran through the 2019 season. Let's see. But he was extended. And
yeah,
details,
he's making more than 3.5. I guarantee that.
But I doubt it's more than 5.
No, maybe not. Maybe my 6 was too much. So
I'm betting if he jumped from 3.6 to 5 million per season, and
so now it's a $5 million.
Now it's doubling what you're making.
Yeah, you're doubling your income. Man, I don't know. I probably would have taken the money just because I think he's good. I think he could be really good at college. He just doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to kiss 18-year-olds' ass. Here's the thing is he's going to be recruiting a different caliber of player. He's not recruiting the one and dones. And he's the guys that go play for him aren't going to be transfer guys. I'm going to tell you this. Some of these big boy school jobs, I think some of these smaller schools are going to improve and get better over time. Because I do think they're going to be able to hang on to their kids. They're not going to lose kids to transfers. It's going to be the big boys that are going to swap kids around all the time. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah. Loyola, I think so.
All right. So the kids at Loyola, let's look at Loyola Chicago. Okay. That is a team of guys. Those guys aren't they're not jumping into the transfer portal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that head coach just went to Oklahoma, where he is going to struggle to keep kids in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Because of the transfer portal.
That is
so he's not only got to recruit new kids, but he's got to constantly worry about the same kids he's got at the job you had. You just recruit them, you get them in, and they're not going anywhere.
Yeah, that's a valid point. I mean, I will say this: coaching. I think
we're
going to
see more of those types of teams make runs in the playoff in the playoffs when we get into the tournament over the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, you're probably right. College basketball is,
but they're going to make more runs because they're going to keep teams together longer.
Yeah, and college basketball is a bit of a shit show right now.
I think it's going to be a shit show for a while, too.
Matt Miller said he may get fired after next year, though, and he said also the transfer portal has 1,000% changed college basketball. Yeah, that is true. That is true, and that's what we're saying. It's a bit of a shit show.
He's not getting fired next year. The ownership loves him. The fan base up there is fickle in Boston, but you don't have to be great to win those team that place over. Like, they were getting frustrated when they had lost like 7 or 8 in a row, and literally he won like 2 games back to back, and everybody was back in love with Brad again. So so they're not, that ownership and Danny Ainge, they don't see short sighted. They see the long, they see the field. They also understand they're one of the only teams that consistently wins that also doesn't have like a top 5-10 player in the league. Okay, Tatum is kind of taking this next step of being a superstar, but he's not superstar yet. He's just not.
No, you're right about that. Hey, did you see this Woody Page report in the Denver Gazette? Like, it just came out today. The Broncos have called the Atlanta Falcons, who sit at number 4 overall, about a potential trade.
There you go.
He's got mile-high regard, talking about George Patton, mile-high regard for both Justin Fields and Trey Lance.
Yep. I'll tell you this. I understand this is complete and utter ESPN propaganda. I don't like him over Fields. Not even close. I kind of think I'm warming up to Trey Lance being a lot better than I thought he was.
I am gonna have.
I get
to
that. I get that. I'm watching nothing but highlight reels right now. Okay, I'm watching nothing but pro game.
The potential is there. Like, 100% there.
I think the game is moving to more of mobile quarterback. I think the teams that are going to be ultra successful either have to have a complete and utter assassin. Tom Brady is an exception to all rules because he is a complete psychopath. Okay.
Yeah.
He's not a well-adjusted person. He has a brain of an assassin. He just feels nothing. All right.
Yeah.
Everybody else, they don't make people like that. And I think look at every other quarterback in the league that's been successful. They all have a pretty large mobile mass asset to their game. There's no way on earth I'd take a pure pocket passer today. I just wouldn't do it.
I think you have a point there. I think you have a point. We'll close out with this. We've been going for a little bit, and we appreciate all of you for sticking around with us for sure. I'm going to give Chris just a second to gloat. Alabama drew 47,218 people at their spring game on Saturday. That is the largest crowd to attend a sporting event in the United States since the pandemic began. And the Conor McGregor-Dustin Poirier fight sold out in about 50 seconds on Friday morning. 20,800 people will be in T-Mobile Arena on July 10th. You said just a few months ago, take the overs on every attendance mark out there, and I believe that you were going to hit it, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah, I think every stadium in football, college and pros, that offers tickets available, every ticket available will be sold. Now, some states are going to be stubborn and stuck in the mud and say we're only going to do 20% or 50% or whatever. But whatever they sell, all of them will be gone. There will not be a ticket that you can buy from a facility. 100% will be paying aftermarket prices. I think aftermarket prices are going to go through the roof. I have seen this already with pricing out some Red Sox tickets to see if I could go to Boston. And it is just not in the cards for a man of my means. But they're just people ready to get out. And yes, people, especially outdoor stadiums. Holy crap. You tell me I get to go to an outdoor event, I'm going.
We're all going. Everybody's excited about being outside, getting to go experience this stuff again. You don't realize how much you miss it until it's gone. My buddy Tim James, by the way, props to him.
He said, "Roll Tide." Alabama 47K or whatever. You do know that Ole Miss's spring game is what, this weekend?
Oh, it's going to be massive.
And Ole Miss fan base has seen that 47K number. They're trying to sell out Vault.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, because I think that they're going to try and allow 100%, right?
Well, they are going to allow it. Mississippi has been allowing 100% capacity already.
And so Alabama only allowed.
You see Mississippi State Alabama baseball games? Standing room Mississippi State only Ole Miss tickets went for $400.
For a college baseball game.
That is a $10 ticket.
Oh, yes. I mean, it was insane. Absolutely insane. Alabama only did half capacity on Saturday.
Yes.
But the numbers are going to be nuts.
Ole Miss is going to open 100% capacity. They won't sell out 100%. I think they will beat 47,000, though, because they're going to sell all of them.
I think so as well. Hey, any chance you're going to be down there?
Hell no. I ain't going to a spring game. Are you crazy?
Well, I mean, insane. You know, everybody out in the Grove hanging out, you know, drink a little drink.
What am I going to do in the Grove?
I mean, drink some tequila.
I'm going to find, listen. Listen, this is jogging season down there. This is sundress season down there. I'm going to lose half my shit, pay a bunch of attorneys. I ain't doing that. Too old for that. What am I going to a spring game for?
That's a perfect way for us to get out of the show. Perfect way to get out of the show. All right, let's close it out. Everybody go to winningcureseverything.com. Go over to sbrpicks.com/NCAAF. If you like the show, hit the like button. Make sure you are subscribed where you need to be subscribed. If you missed any part of the live show, you can always go back and watch it, or you can just download the podcast. That'd be the easiest thing to do. Anywhere you get your podcast, make sure that you download it and subscribe, et cetera, et cetera. Leave a nice 5-star review over on Apple Podcast. Chris, is there anything else that is broken that we need to hit?
Nope, but I'm really hoping the Broncos make a move today or early tomorrow. Tomorrow, my live show, I'm not doing solo. I'm having some of the guys from Westlot help me carry the show until we do our live thing to help promote that. Sam Walters, who is a Broncos fan, is coming on with me.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and I would love for that to happen.
By the way, I've got the link up already. You can go over to our YouTube page and find it over there. We're going to start sharing out the link, the scheduled show, whatever, for April 29th, the NFL Draft first round. We will be live streaming it starting 7 p.m. Central Time. As soon as that thing kicks off, we are going to be on there breaking it down with our buddies, the Westlot Pirates. So make sure that you are tuned in to our YouTube page. Go and subscribe there if you have not already. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait. I'm so glad that you've got them coming on with you to kind of hype this thing up, get ready to roll. My schedule is a little more difficult. It's a little more difficult.
I'm pretty flexible. They are a little difficult as well, but because of my flexibility, it works out. And then also it helps.
Absolutely.
It helps me carry a show.
I can understand it. All right. You guys have been fantastic. Again, winningcureseverything.com, sbrpicks.com/NCAAF. Chris, let's go ahead and get out of here. You guys take care of yourself, take care of each other, and hopefully all of your tickets cash this week. That's the wrong music.
Thanks for checking out Winning Cures Everything. If you want to keep up with us, hit subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. Visit the website at winningcureseverything.com, or you can like us on Facebook or follow us at Winning Cures, at Gary WCE, or at Chris B. Giannini on Twitter. Share out the show, leave a nice review, and make sure to comment and tweet at us.